Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm really excited here to be joined on the Wester Hotline by a good friend of the program, good friend of the station, Matt Perino from New York State, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us here on WGR. Matt, good afternoon. Now, thanks again for taking some time after Bills practice to join us. Welcome into the show.
What is up, Brayton? Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, thanks again for taking the time to join us. Anything that happened at Bills practice today that caught your eye that is of note, other than the fact that Dawson Knox not out there and is not going to play this Monday against the Chiefs?
You know, Tremaine Edmonds wound up back in the red non-contact jersey yesterday, which I think was a little bit eye-opening. Just because he had played all last week in practice without it. Obviously, he's been dealing with a shoulder injury, but he was out there today. It's a little bit of a lighter practice, but he didn't have the red non-contact on today, and they were in their gear. So that's a very good sign as he continues to come back. And, you know, that's been one, you know, storyline that's kind of arcing here over the last couple of weeks, where there's a big chunk of the fan base that has been a little unhappy with the play of Tremaine Edmonds. I dove into it a little bit this week. Lorenzo Alexander chimed in, said that you know, and I'm usually going to defer to his take on the situation because you know, he played the game, he knows what he's looking at, and he said that he doesn't think that he thought Tremaine Edmonds had a good game last week, and you know, I know a lot of people are thinking that he's been struggling, but you know, that's going to be a storyline to watch because this week, you know, if Matt Milano can play, and I'd imagine he'll be listed as questionable, he had a full practice yesterday, which is huge news. But Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano have their hands full this week. Travis Kelce is an absolute beast. The speed that they have at their disposal with Mecole Hardman and obviously Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins won't play. So those two guys are dynamic and they can move around the formation. They're going to have their hands full. And I thought the Raiders did a really good job, you know, their linebackers specifically, playing against that speed and the playmaking ability of Kelce last week. So very important storyline to watch.
Yeah, I mean, at least the fact that Matt Milano is likely to be back in the lineup with the way that he's been able to practice all week, it's good news. And especially with the way that the Raiders were able to defend the Chiefs, I mean, that's going to be very important, not only just with the linebackers trying to contain Travis Kelce and all the other guys in the middle of the field, like it was difficult for them to defend the Titans last week, but certainly, it's important that a guy like Tre'Davious White is back because he is going to be able to be focused solely on Tyreek Hill or whoever he goes up against with trying to contain this Chiefs offense who, you know, if you give him just a slight opening, Patrick Mahomes is going to take advantage as being a former MVP and a Super Bowl MVP as well.
Yeah, they need all hands on deck. And you can't really understate the importance of Tre'Davious White in this on this defense. And you know, even if you want to say that maybe he's been a little bit, not maybe the same player that he was a year ago, I'm wondering how much of a little lingering issue he's been dealing with. But, you know, this is an all-pro for a reason. And, you know, not only for Tre'Davious White having him, but what it allows Josh Norman's role to be. And I think we saw last week him moving into that cornerback one role. I think that he is on the other side of that role in his career. I think that you want him to be that number two guy, playing opposite a guy like Trey White, where, you know, opposing quarterbacks are sometimes concerned about attacking that side of the field. So, you know, yeah, having Tre'Davious White back in the mix, Micah Hyde said this week, every time that he's on the field with us, we feel like we have a guy, a bona fide guy that can make plays. And that's what they need to do. That, you know, you dissect all this stuff every which way, and you know, we dive into all the different angles all week. I think the big thing with this Bills defense is when they've been at their best this season, they've been making plays. And I thought that they figured something out in the second half of the Raiders game in terms of the defensive line, applying some pressure on Derek Carr, making things uncomfortable, forcing some turnovers. They have to do that this week, because if you do not take the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, you need your offense to score 6, 7, 8 times to win. And I just tweeted out a stat. I think it's 7 of 10 total drives the Raiders scored on last week, and they held the ball for over 35 minutes. That's the key. That's the recipe. And can the Bills do it? Yeah, I think they can do it. And I think that I don't think this defense in Kansas City is as good as it was last year. And I also think that without Sammy Watkins, I think that they become a little bit easier, if you want to say easier, to defend them because of everything that he can do. But they have weapons everywhere. And I think the one good thing is for Bills fans is you're not going to have to deal with, you know, Le'Veon Bell added to the mix this week. He can't play because of the COVID restrictions.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about Le'Veon Bell. I'll get to that right now. Just what are your thoughts on him joining that Chiefs team, even though he isn't going to play like you did say, but how did you feel about him choosing the Chiefs over the Bills, and were you kind of set on him joining the Bills, or, you know, how open to the idea were you?
I was certainly open to it, and I definitely think it would have been an interesting addition because they've been trying to stockpile talent on both sides of the ball, specifically on offense around Josh Allen for a while now. So it didn't surprise me that there was interest in, there. I still have a little bit higher hopes than Devin Singletary for Singletary and Moss than I think some frustrated Bills fans have fallen to at this point. I think it's been a struggle. I think they've really emphasized the passing game, and they've really designed without a lot of lead up and a lot of practice time, you know, without all of the spring, without all of the preseason, they really just went into this thing like, all right, we're going to pass the ball. We're going to attack teams with all the weapons that we have. And I'm wondering how much the run game has just got to kind of gotten left, you know, in the background. But I think that with, you know, Bobby Johnson showed last year, he's a guy that can, you know, get things figured out in that run game. They had a lull last year, and, you know, Devin Singletary finished the season absolutely on fire, had a couple of really big games. As far as Bell, you know, I think that I'm interested to see how it plays out, because we all saw what happened with LeSean McCoy. Now, I'm not suggesting that Le'Veon Bell, you know, is at the stage of his career that McCoy was at when he went to the Chiefs. I still think that there's some good football left in Le'Veon Bell, but I definitely don't think he's the guy that held out for a year and left the Pittsburgh Steelers at his kind of the height of his production. I don't think he's that same guy. So I think he's going to be a part of a tandem there, a 1-2 punch with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he could be really good, because anybody that's got some talent, has got some juice, you throw them into the mix with the Patrick Mahomes-led offense, and they're probably going to do some damage. But I'm still bullish on Devin Singletary. And he posted on Instagram a little sleepy emoji with a picture of himself running the football. And, you know, maybe he does take this a little bit personally, and maybe he does. This is a little bit of a kick for him to make the most out of every time he gets the chance to touch the ball, because that's one of the things in an offense like this, and it's one of the reasons why I think it's been tough for Dallas and Knox to get things going, other than the fact that he struggles to hold on to the football when it's thrown to him, is that you don't get many chances in an offense that features Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley. So when you get to touch the rock, you better do the most with it. And I would play Devin Singletary in fantasy this week, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think Devin Singletary is going to be a huge factor, just because obviously with the way that this Chiefs defense is one of the worst run defenses in the NFL, I think that a game plan surrounded around a running attack like Devin Singletary, and even if Zach Moss is able to get him involved as well, that's going to be a huge important factor for this Bills offense to be able to keep up with the likely offensive attack that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to bring.
Yes, I agree, but I was with you on that front last week. Going into that game last week, Tennessee was giving up some of the second or third worst run defense in the league going into that game.
It's very true.
And they just couldn't do anything. I think it comes down to, you know, the offensive line has to step up. Mitch Morse talked a little bit about it yesterday, and, you know, it's got to be an execution thing. And they have a new piece in there with Brian Winters. And I do think that when it comes to offensive line play, and I might be a little bit of a broken record for anybody that listens to my podcast, and, you know, with myself and Ryan Talbot, we talk about this a lot. I think they miss John Feliciano. I think they miss that demeanor that he brought, that nastiness that he brought, because that kind of thing rubs off on an offensive line. Mitch Morris is not a guy that's going to be out there foaming at the mouth. Even Deion Dawkins, for as great as he is and as good of a player as he is, he even said, man, John Feliciano flipped the switch for us last year. And so I think that that's something that I don't know if he can return this week. He was practicing this week. I would imagine that we're still probably a week away. And even when he is able to play, you wonder how quickly they can get him back into, 60 snaps a week. But I think that they need a little bit of a jolt when it comes to energy, when it comes to juice, and just the overall mentality of that offensive line. You've got to be nasty to excel in the run game.
Yeah, and even with Feliciano, a pectoral muscle is never an easy injury to come back from and be able to be 100% from. I mean, we kind of saw that last year when J.J. Watt made it back from his pectoral injury, even though he played against the Bills and won the opening wild card round game. He certainly didn't have as much of a factor as he has in the past, but certainly he's had other injury problems. One of the, obviously, the injury problems that the Bills have is with tight end and Dawson Knox not playing. And Matt, I was really looking forward this week to seeing Dawson Knox and the potential for him to be utilized in a certain way against this Chiefs defense where, yes, we've seen Dawson Knox put up some really good performances. I mean, the Bengals game comes to mind last year where he used his strength and that ability to move down the field with the stiff arm. I mean, there's a reason why he's called Mr. Stiff Arm. But the drops are a consistent problem, and he's been dropping balls again. But I really wanted to see Dawson Knox step up, and he's got to obviously be out. Do you think now it's going to be highlighted by Tyler Kroft, or how do you think that this passing game is going to be utilized, or is it just going to be back with attacking the ball with using the deep threats like John Brown and Stephon Diggs and other routes like that?
Oh, yeah, you go back to the well, Brayton. It's going to be Stephon Diggs. It's going to be John Brown. And I went back and watched this morning before practice in between. We go down there for our COVID test in the morning and then practice 2 hours later, so I needed something to kill some time. So I went back and watched the Kansas City game, and this secondary for the Chiefs are really susceptible over the top. And you probably figure out, Steve Spagnuolo probably went into the lab this week and tried to figure out, diagnose what exactly, the issues were that led to a ton of huge, massive plays last week for the Raiders. But I think that you get John Brown back in the mix, and Stephon Diggs even said it this week, man. I think everybody realized how important he is to the blueprint that has allowed this offense to have the success that it's had this year. So now you get those two guys back in the mix. You still, if you do a good job of taking one of those two guys away, we saw Cole Beasley able to eat against the Raiders 2 weeks ago when he had six catches for 100 yards. It's really tough to stop. I'll be interested to see if Zach Moss is healthy. If he's inactive again, how much do maybe we see an increased role for T.J. Yeldon, who made a big, they love guys that earn more time, earn their place, mm-hmm. earn their, the kind of load that they get. And I think with Yeldon, he went out last week. I thought he ran hard. He converted a couple first downs and then made a big play when the Bills were down. They needed somebody to make a big play. And so you could maybe look for him to be involved a little more in the passing game. But I think Tyler Kroft I almost feel like in a weird way, because of how much they feature the receivers, Tyler Kroft might be a better, more reliable guy for that, 4 to 5 target range per game. And he made the most of it a couple weeks ago when he had the 2 touchdown catches. So I think that they're fine. I think Stephon Diggs is still the guy that you want to get the ball to. Just like, he's not a tight end, but Travis Kelce for the Chiefs, he is a tight end, but he's also their top playmaker. He's the guy that kind of stirs the strength. Tyreek Hill is great, but I think that Travis Kelce is the guy that allows them to be so dynamic everywhere else. And I think that's what Stephon Diggs is for the Bills.
Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. A few more minutes with him as the Bills were just on the practice field, and Matt was there taking it in and getting the chance to watch the final things before the final injury report comes out later on and before we get to Monday afternoon's game against the Chiefs in Orchard Park at Bill Stadium. Matt, obviously, with this matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs, the headline feature has to be Mahomes versus Allen, right? And a former MVP, a Super Bowl MVP against a quarterback from Buffalo who really is trying to set himself up to be the next MVP caliber type of quarterback in this league. That has to be the spotlight feature, right, between the two squads?
Oh, my gosh. All day Monday on ESPN SportsCenter is going to be video of all of the unbelievable throws that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have made so far this season. And, you know, to be here at week six after, you know, I think that the narrative has flipped on Josh nationally. I think that he's done enough early on that, you know, the quote-unquote haters and the people that maybe didn't believe in the potential that some others believed in, you know, that's kind of changed now. And I think he's kind of generally looked at as, you know, must-see TV, as a guy that, you know, like Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and guys like that, that when he's playing in prime time now, people are going to want to watch. And he's just like the ultimate roller coaster because you never know when he's going to dip into the bag and bring out the crazy, wild gunslinger Josh Allen, which I know a lot of fans and, you know, at times as coaches would like him to, you know, holster a little bit, if you will. But I think that that's part of the experience. I think that's part of the fun. And I also think that these two guys are guys that respect each other, but are super competitive, know what this matchup means. They kind of insinuate, like, Josh never talks about the opposing team's quarterback. He's been asked about Sam Darnold millions of times. It's always, I play the defense, he plays our defense. But this week he said, yeah, it's going to be fun to play against Patrick Mahomes. I love watching him play too. And so I think they know what's on the line, but Josh said something very astute earlier this week about what he needs to do in this game to help mitigate the impact of Patrick Mahomes. And that is take care of the ball and drive and make plays and score points. Because the more you do that, the more chances you take away from Patrick Mahomes. The more chances he gets, the more likely you are to lose. I mean, this could be a shootout. I was listening to you right before I went on, and I think you said both teams scoring 40. That could be a very, very real thing in this game. The first one to 40, maybe the first one to 50 wins it, and that's fun. Monday Night Football, let's go.
Yeah, right. I mean, when was the last time we saw an offensive shootout in this matter with this Bills team? I mean, it's been maybe since the 90s?
I mean, it's been a long time. There's been a lot of J.P. Lossman, Trent Edwards, E.J. Manuel, even Ryan Fitzpatrick at some of the, you know, the lower ends of the of his tenure, as good as he was at times. It's been a lot of, you know, bad football. So I'm thrilled. You know, this is so fun. Like, it's, you know, Bills Mafia has been in the news this week with, you know, the Bills teaming up with Del Reed and putting a copyright on that and some fun things to come there. And it's just like a time to celebrate Buffalo. And I was saying it last week. Or earlier this week, actually. It's not last week. It was a couple days ago now because it was Tuesday Night Football. About, you know, I love the primetime games because I feel like it shines a light on Buffalo. And I grew up here. I grew up rooting for this team. I grew up rooting for this city. And this is a time that, you know, you don't know where it's going to go. But right now, as we sit here, 4-1, this Bills team is, it's a time for fans to celebrate and enjoy the shine. And I think they're going to get a lot of that the next couple days.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, I guess final thing I'll ask you is, how do you think this game plays out? Do you think it is going to end up like that high offensive octane scoring game, or do you think that you know, maybe both teams are going to be bouncing back defensively and it's just going to be that type of game where you're going to get some offense but then you're going to get some defense? How do you think this plays out?
Bills 45, Chiefs 42. It is going to be the shootout that everybody is excited for. And I think some fans are probably not as excited for, because that's going to, you know, that game's going to give you a little bit of a heart attack at times, I think. but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. I think the Chiefs are going to really struggle with John Brown back, looking like he's moving around really well. He's healthy. I think this offensive line will rally around Mitch Morse playing his former team. And just the, you know, wanting to get the bad taste out of their mouth has been one of the big things I've heard out of there this week. And I think that they can do that against this team. And I think Micah Hyde said it too really well on what you have to do. They have an understanding of how to play against Patrick Mahomes. The play is not over when the initial routes are ran. There's a second part to every passing play where he's able to kind of, you know, think on the fly and change things up and be a dynamic playmaker. And so you have to really play to the whistle every single play, and I think that this defense is going to be motivated to do it. And I think this defensive line will have a better performance this week. I think that'll be a part of it too.
Matt, not only did you make me very happy with your prediction for the score, but I think you made a lot of other people very happy just because of the outcome of that score. So I appreciate you taking the time this early afternoon now to join me, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the beautiful fall weather we're expected to get later today and into tomorrow, and we'll hear from more of you from, you know, at some point here along the road. But thanks again for taking the time.
Anytime, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com joins us here on the West Her Hotline. A little bit of...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.